I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
The disappearance and now the death of Utah Tech CEO Aaron Valenti. That is our top story.
Now, time for the standout on Dave and Dujanovic.
Oh, it's been a tragic, tragic weekend and a development Saturday when we all learned that her body had been found in a neighborhood in the Bay Area. Aaron Valenti's dad now calling on the cops in California, calling them out for botching the search for his missing daughter.
Yeah, this was something that family members felt was very odd. The conversations they were having with her, they felt that there was something wrong. And then it just seemed like throughout the week, she missed thing after thing that was very abnormal.
And
for
big
the
things.
Way she, yeah.
There was a big awards banquet here on Wednesday. Aaron missed that, and yet she was the recipient of a major award, and she just didn't come up on stage. And then earlier in the show, we had Scott Paul on the air. He's a good friend of Aaron's. He lives here in Utah, and he talked about the frustration they were having when she first went missing on Monday at getting a search organized.
We had a spot where we knew the phone went out, and we thought cops would be, you know, doing a perimeter search, looking for license plates, looking for cars. And when we found out they were doing nothing from her family and her husband, we had a friend go up from L.A. to San Francisco to San Jose to be, you know, someone on the street.
Friends and family very critical of the efforts that the police, didn't make. John Wojcik joins us now on the show. John. Has the police had any comment about the way they handled this investigation?
At this point, they haven't. They're calling it an ongoing investigation. They've declined comment at this point, kind of not surprisingly, because this is painting them in a pretty bad light. And I think what's really kind of putting a little bit of pressure on them is the fact that these family and friends were able to connect the dots in a way that isn't that hard to do. I mean, the work they did behind the scenes was they did track my iPhone. They were able to figure out her most recent location before her phone died. They had the information on the vehicle, so they said, let's just go to this location, look for the vehicle, spread out a little bit. And eventually, they ended up finding the vehicle and her dead body about half a mile only from that spot. So they're saying, hey, from a different state, we were able to organize and do this. You're in the exact city she was, and it took you this much time. We beat you to it. So the frustration is kind of growing from that.
KSL News Radio's John Wojcik joining us live in studio as he continues to follow this developing story on the death of Aaron Valenti. One of the questions that I had all along, John, I don't know if you have the answer to this or if you're looking into this, is this was a rental car she was found in. They did put out a description, the family did, very, very early on, as soon as they could get that information out over Facebook. Was there some sort of GPS tracking device on this rental car that cops could have easily have pinged to find out where it had actually come to a stop in that neighborhood in the Bay Area?
And we don't know an answer on that yet. And I think that is something that is adding to the frustration. It makes it even a little bit easier. And they had everything. They had make, model, license plate. And you would think some sort of location would be available with the technology we have here. I mean, this isn't a situation where you think maybe decades ago, okay, this would be a little bit more difficult to connect the dots. But with all the technology in play between a phone and a rental vehicle, unfortunately, it shouldn't be that tough, and for police to not be able to find her, and also to say that she was voluntarily missing. I think that's a big part of this, too. How can you be voluntarily missing? That's what her father, Joseph Valenti, said, is someone who misses a flight that it's already paid for, you show up to that. Somebody who's voluntarily missing doesn't just skip out on a flight. There's a reason behind it, and that's why they're frustrated.
Well, and I think one of the questions people have is that very phrase, voluntarily missing. And looking up the stats of missing people in California, it happens all the time. In fact, of the 43,000 missing persons in California, 37,000 of those are classified as voluntarily missing. So just about 86% of people that go missing in California are classified as voluntarily missing. And so to defend the cops a little bit, I don't know enough of the story. We don't know the details. So I just want to give a little bit of perspective here. When we're talking about people missing, this happens all the time. 600 a day in California. So before we rush to judgment, I think it's important to find out more about how this actually happened. What's difficult about police officers is to be able to investigate something, they typically need some sort of criminality. They know that there's been a crime committed or something's happened. And that's kind of the difficulty they're dealing with.
And I think an interesting counter to that would be, I mean, you mentioned how many people are classified as voluntarily missing. How many of that percentage are, you know, misclassified? And that's kind of what mm-hmm. the family is saying is, how is it the police's right, not their right, but necessarily their place to determine whether or not she was voluntarily or involuntarily missing? We've had phone conversations with her. The husband went on record and had an interview and said she was very erratic. It was not a normal phone conversation. So I can tell you from someone who knows her probably better than anyone as a husband, I don't think this is voluntarily, you know, a case where she's just kind of going off the map for a couple of days.
But something had gone terribly wrong. Something along the way on that drive back to the airport to get, and she was there in California on a business trip and then to meet with maybe perhaps some friends, and that something in the family's mind had gone terribly wrong. Let me just bring our listeners up to speed. If you are a little bit behind on this story, Erin Valenti is a Utah CEO for a tech company here. She was certainly a rising star in the tech world. A lot of people here had high regards for the 33-year-old. I think she was... her birthday was, I think it's this Wednesday. She was supposed to turn 34. Her body was found in the back, we believe, the back seat of a rental car in the Bay Area over the weekend. And here's the last conversation her mom had with her on Monday, October 7th. Her mom characterized it as this: her thoughts were disconnected. She talked a mile a minute. She'd say something to the effect that she was coming home for Thanksgiving, and then in the next minute she was saying that she was in The Matrix, which is the movie The Matrix. So some odd conversations going on between the family and with Erin. And the family, John, from what we understand, takes this information and gives it to police.
It sounds like they pretty much laid it all out there that, you know, this is a person who would not just go missing out of nowhere without telling us. We've had some strange conversations. And then on top of that, here's where she was last seen. Here's the vehicle she was in, information about the vehicle. So they're saying we did everything on our part. And then on top of that, when we didn't see any sort of a response or any sort of action taken in, you know, a couple of days, we took it upon ourselves. You know, hey, we know this information. If they're not going to take any sort of action, it's up to us. And that's what they did. And eventually a volunteer ended up finding her.
A volunteer from the Facebook group.
Right.
So they social media, they ended up you were working that in such a way, the family did, that they were able to eventually find her body through a volunteer on the Facebook group.
And to my understanding, a common misconception is a person needs to be missing for X amount of hours before they can be classified as missing. They have to be gone for 48 hours. That's not the case. My understanding is that you can be classified as a missing person immediately. But again, typically, when someone is classified as a missing person, it's for many cases. They're lost, a stranger abduction, suspicious circumstances, mm-hmm. even unknown circumstances. A lot of police officers and ones that I've talked to say, quite frankly, with the amount of people that go missing every single day, it would just be too difficult to track down everybody, and we don't necessarily have the resources to track down every person that is missing for 24 or 48 hours.
We're focusing on the disappearance and now death investigation of Erin Valenti, a Utah resident who went missing and has now been confirmed found dead in California over the weekend. John Wojcik, our KSL News Radio, one of the newer voices on KSL News Radio, has jumped on this story for the day. Do we have an update yet from the medical examiner's office on a cause of death? Because I'm looking at our Utah Community Credit Union text line here. A lot of listeners, John, wanting to know what took the life of Erin.
At this time, we don't, and that's sort of a frustrating thing right now. And I think there's some speculation if you asked family or friends, but based off some of these erratic conversations. But since it took so long, they don't know, A, the cause of death, or B, how long she was already dead by the time she was found. I mean, she was in the backseat of this rental vehicle. Who knows how long she had already passed away and been inside this vehicle before she was found? They don't know answers at this point to either of those questions.
John, in your report this morning, I heard you reference the family thought it was a manic episode. It's an interesting phrase because a manic episode tends to lead towards some sort of bipolar diagnosis. Did they clarify that at all, or was that exactly how they had phrased it?
That was the phrasing, and I also found that interesting because, and I haven't totally dug into this yet, but it sounds like her husband is a psychologist, and it was her husband who used that phrasing, manic episode, as well as her family. They asked the husband, does she have any sort of prior history of, you know, kind of weird, you know, bipolar instances or something? He said, no instances of a mental illness or any sort of, you know, situations where it pops up here and there. And for someone who, you know, might have a background in which he knows something about this, for him to kind of say, no, this is really strange, first time we've ever seen this, I think that carries some weight to it.
John, thank you so much for joining us, and we look forward to following your reporting on this story. Debbie, a devastating, very, very sad story, losing a Utah CEO, Aaron Valenti, found dead in California. Unfortunately, that's about all we know right now. We don't know the cause. We don't know what happened. Those details, I would imagine, will come shortly.
How far would you travel to save on a surgery? A simple five-hour drive saved a guy 90% on his hernia surgery, and this is not small potatoes. He saved tens of thousands of dollars. Road trip medicine. Next.
I like it. Road trip medicine. Stick around. We're back in 3 minutes.
Dave and Dujanovic. Get all news all morning, then go in-depth about the news.
Live with Greg Skordas. He's a former prosecutor. We're talking about an adoption scheme.
With Dave and Debbie.
These adopted parents could lose their child.
That's exactly what could happen.
News at 5, talk at 9 on KSL News Radio, Utah's news station.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLPodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.